from SLB Radio in Pittsburgh, Crossing Fences. African-American boys and young men creating oral history showcasing the lives and accomplishments of local African-American men.
I grew up here in Homestead and grew up in the steel mill days, so a lot of steel mills.
Flesh and blood principalities, battle over spiritual policies, thinking that the one is going to follow.
We were responsible for our community. You know, we say we need help, but we got to learn how to help ourselves.
A lot of people who are pioneers and icons who got us to where we are today because they used their brains. If they used their fists, we would never have heard about them.
From anesthesiologists to barbershop owners, entrepreneurs to engineers, and coaches to deacons, over 170 men have been interviewed. Today, let's hear from Anwan Wesley, age 37 at the time of this interview.
Family life was dope, man. It was cool. We had my mom, my dad, and then my brothers. That was a family unit. That street particularly had several family units like mine, sets of brothers, you know, sets of siblings all lined up and down the street. Everybody had mom and dads, things like that. So, you know, it was a real respectful time in Homewood where, you know, guys from across the street can come to my house and call my mom and vice versa. So it was real family oriented. This lady dropped me down the steps. Yeah. And tried to cover it up. So I was in a body cast for a year, maybe. So when you a kid and you got brothers and you know what a body cast look like. It's like I'm in a whole body cast. Like my back was broke and I was a baby. And baby meaning like young enough to kind of scoop myself around. So I had to overcome that. I remember being in the body cast. I remember laying on the ground like I can't move. I don't remember falling down the steps, but I do remember being restricted, like, from the neck down. I done lost five of my best friends. My older brother, he was into the gang life down here in Homewood, over there on Core Street. We still kind of had the same family unit where friends would come and call mom, this, that, and the third, so when you got those guys coming over to the house and they calling you their little brother and y'all eating food and y'all hanging and chilling and then next thing you know, you going to their funerals, it changes you. You know, I'm going to funerals since I was about 8 years old. And look, man, by the time I was 13, I was like desensitized, meaning I didn't feel one way or the other about people dying because it happened so much. And then not only that, it kind of happened overnight for me. Because when you're young, there's certain things that you don't see. But as you get older, the picture starts revealing itself a little bit. Like, why do I keep going to the funerals of my brother's friends? What is happening? You know, you don't really understand why it's happening. You just know it's happening and you're a part of the grieving. I literally didn't think I was going to live past 17, so I didn't have a plan until I had my son. So once I had my son, it was like I got something else to live for. Through my son, it showed me purpose that I didn't see before. I just felt like the Lord was using him to kind of open my eyes to see what I could be if I took that challenge of raising my son and being there, even though me and his mom weren't together. Like, how committed would I be to him? You know, he's a great young man. My father was a role model. Although, you know, mom and dad got divorced, he still was an influence. His influence was heavy. Even when he was away for a period of time, the things that he planted was still there. I seek inspiration from him now, but as I was growing up, it was coaches. It was the coaches from the Homewood YMCA. It was the football coaches. You know, it was people who saw promise in me that kind of kept motivating me. What made me want to be a coach? Like everywhere, it was like kind of everywhere I went, like kids would follow me. And I used to be like, what are these kids doing around me? Like, what are y'all doing? What do y'all want? But for some reason, they were drawn to me. And I just felt like, hey, these kids are drawn to me. It's my job to make sure that I give them something good, you know? And it was just like a natural progression as I was coming up. You know, kids used to follow me around, want to do the stuff I did, things like that. But again, once I had my son and I start coaching him and training him, it was just something natural that just came. There's people that call me coach, and I've never coached them a day in my life. So to me, that tells me that whatever I'm putting down, they pick it up, and they show me that respect. So that means if I'm in Homewood and I walk down the street or I drive down the street and I see maybe some cheerleaders or some kids I never coached, but they are screaming Coach Juan, or they may be doing something that they know they're not supposed to do and they try to hide from me. That's a sign of respect. Homewood, it's a place where dreams can come true. If you got the right mindset, if you surround yourself with the right people, there's nothing you can't do.
This oral history was collected by youth interviewers Durley Germain and Rayshawn Fisher. Crossing Fences is made possible by the Heinz Endowments and was produced by SLB Radio Productions. Learn more at slbradio.org.